Now, friends, we've come in this third chapter where we see the church is a mystery. And Paul has dealt with that in what is actually the parenthesis in the chapter. Now, you'll recall that with verse 1 of the chapter, I dropped down to verse 14. That's where we are today. So let's go back and tie the strings together again. And this parenthesis comes in between. And I also should add it is an emphasis, too. Now, verse 1 reads, "For this cause, I, Paul the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And he says, "For this cause, I bow my knees." Naturally, we say, well, what cause? Well, it was because of his deep interest in these Ephesians, and he wanted them to enter into the great truth here of this dispensation, this new economy that we live in, and to experience all the riches of his grace that's in Christ Jesus. All of this is the cause now, and that which was in the background. Now he says, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There are several things here, even in this verse, I'd like to call attention to. Now, when we were looking at the prayer that's back in the first chapter, I mentioned what a great man of prayer Paul really was, and that we know him as an apostle, a preacher, a teacher, but not so much as a man of prayer. And I called attention to some of the characteristics of his prayers that were there. Now, in this verse, we have another characteristic of the prayers of Paul, and this prayer reveals a posture in prayer. Now, I hope I'm not splitting hairs, but here it is. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'm not insisting that in our public prayer meetings today that we all get down on our knees. However, I rather wish that we did. One of the best meetings I ever had was as a young preacher in my first pastorate. I went up into Middle Tennessee to the Old Stones River Church. It was right near where the Battle of Stones River was fought in the Civil War. In fact, there's a cemetery that is there. And it's a little country church. And I never shall forget that first night when I began, I said, "Let's bow our heads in prayer." Well, they did more than bow their heads. I shut my eyes and I heard a rumbling, and I thought everybody got up and walked out. So I ventured to take a look, and I did. I opened one eye and looked, and you know, I didn't see a soul, and I thought they'd really walked out on me. But since I was praying to the Lord, I just continued to pray. And then I said, "Amen." And then I opened my eyes. And you know, here came all these people up, and that little old country church is packed out. They came up just like corn coming up out of the ground between those pews. They'd all got down on their knees. And you know, we had a wonderful meeting. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying just because we got down on our knees that we had a great meeting. I do want to say this. I think it helped a great deal. I'm afraid today that in the formality and the ritual even of our nice new churches and our plush seats and carpets on the floor, that today we are missing something in our relationship to the Lord. My feeling is there ought to be more of the easy familiarity in worship and more reverence for God, especially at the time of prayer. Our proper place, we are a creature. We ought to go down on our all fours before Almighty God. And Paul said that's the way he prayed. And I've always felt that it's a good way to pray. I used to pray. Now, I must confess now, with arthritis, I don't do it like I used to. But I used to get down right on my face, right down in the study, and pray there. And it's amazing how it helps you to pray. And this is something I think that's good for man. Now, I'm not going to insist on this, but I'm just calling your attention. This is the way Paul did it, and I think he's a very good example for us today. Aren't we told also that our Lord went forward there in the Garden of Gethsemane and fell on his face? You know, it wouldn't hurt a lot of us saints to fall on our face. I think that'd be the proper place for us to get down on our face. Now we have something else in this verse. He says, I bow my knees unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know you're going to think that I'm splitting hairs. I hope that I'm not splitting hairs here, but I think this is rather important. What we have here is Paul prayed to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that back in that first prayer in Ephesians 1:17, he says that he addressed his prayer to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we find that that was his formula, and I think it's a rather tight formula to address all prayers to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody says, say you are splitting hairs, aren't you? No. Listen to the Lord Jesus. In John 16:23, he says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. These men, when they were with him 3 years, I think they were like a group of children in many ways. I think it was gimme, gimme a great deal of the time. Now he says to them, I'm leaving you, and you're not going to ask me anything. But whatever ye'll ask the Father in my name. Now what does he mean by that? He means simply this, that when you and I pray to the Lord Jesus, directly to him, we rob ourselves of an intercessor. You see, he's our great intercessor. And that's what it means to pray in his name. It means to go to God with a prayer that the Lord Jesus himself can lift to the Father for you and me. And that's what it means to pray in his name. And I think that we ought to be very careful in our prayer life. Now, I was in a service. You know, I guess being retired now, I noticed things I never noticed before. They called on a visiting brother to pray for the meeting at this conference, and we got off to a good start, marvelous start. But this brother slowed us down that night a great deal because the music had been excellent. Pastor did a fine job of presiding. Then they called on this brother to pray, and I counted 3 times that he came around and prayed for me. My feeling was, when I heard him say it the second time, you don't need to tell the Lord that again. He heard you the first time. And then when he came around the 3rd time, I said to myself, he'll turn the Lord off now because the Lord will get tired of hearing that repetitious prayer. Well, my feeling was that wasn't needful. Now, of course, I guess after this brother looked me over, he decided I needed praying for 3 times, but nevertheless, I feel like that is vain repetition that the heathen use. I think we ought to be very careful about our prayer life. My, when you and I are going to make a talk before a group of people, we certainly prepare ourselves, don't we, for this broadcast. I try to get ready for it, and most of the time I'm here with just the Bible, but I've got preparation back of it, friends. It may not look that way, but I surely do. And we always, if we're going to talk to other people, well, why do we in our prayer life, especially in public prayer, when you've got a group of people, you get up and go all the way around Robin's house, and then you take off down through the country and around the world. And after you make a trip around the world, everybody's a little exhausted for the evening service. So that the thing interesting here is that Paul went directly to God the Father and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, another characteristic that follows along with this, you notice this prayer is brief, and did you notice that the other prayer of Paul was brief, and the prayer of Paul in Philippians, the 4th chapter, it's a brief prayer? All of Paul's prayers were brief, very brief. And did you notice that all of the prayers in Scripture brief? The Lord said, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. And all Bible prayers are brief prayers. Moses' great prayer for Israel only takes 3 verses. Elijah on top of Mount Carmel, giving that great prayer there as he stood alone for God against the prophets of Baal. Only took one verse in a tight situation like that. I think I would have used at least two or three verses. And then Nehemiah's great prayers crowded into seven verses. And these other great prayers in Scripture. The Lord's Prayer, which is John 17. I can read that in 3 minutes. That's all it took the Lord to pray that prayer, by the way. I had here in Pasadena years ago, in fact, way back in the 40s, about 42 and 3, a program on the radio, and I asked questions of the audience and had them send in answers, and those that got the answer in first, that is, the earliest postmark, we would give them a prize. And one of the questions I asked was, what is the shortest prayer in the Bible? And the first week I didn't get an answer. Second week I didn't. That is the correct one. And then in the third week, I got the correct answer. And you know what that shortest prayer in the Bible is? Well, it's that prayer of Simon Peter. Lord, save me. And he's out there on the water. And so many people wrote in and said, well, I didn't think that was a prayer. It was so short. Well, my friend, that was a prayer. And it was answered immediately. You see, if Simon Peter had prayed that prayer like some of us preachers pray on Sunday morning, Lord, thou who art the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent one, Simon Peter would have been 20 feet underwater before he got to what he wanted. But I tell you, he got down to business. And Paul's prayers are brief prayers also.